If you have your Bibles, you can go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's see here. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into His Word and believe God for utterance this morning. Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful for Your mercy, for Your goodness, for Your love, all that You've given to us, all that You've provided for us. Now, Father, this is our help. This is where we come before You to hear from heaven, to get what You have for us. And Father, we thank You so much that this is Your plan. Now, Father, I pray that You'd speak through me this morning, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank You that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that I'll speak to every single heart here today. Father, something will be said through me, Father, that will strike a chord in everybody's heart, in everybody's situation, what they're going through and what they're facing. And Father, we trust You today with what the message is supposed to be, with what's supposed to be said, what's supposed to be done. Father, we thank You that we're going to hear this morning exactly what we need to hear. So Father, we give You the praise and the glory. We thank You for it. It's not about me. It's not about the name on the building. It's always about You. And we praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. We've been in a little series about the power of God, being filled with God. And let's just read here and we'll get started. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," talking about Jesus with the people, "He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So he's telling Christians, people have received him, that believe in him, that are children of God. He's saying there's something else for you. He says in verse 8, he talks about what happened when they received it. He says, "But you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So he said, you need to wait here for this. Because if you'll wait here, there's power available for you. And we need power, amen? We need power, glory to God. "After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now go to Acts chapter 2. So Jesus tells them to wait, not to leave till the Holy Ghost comes. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we see when He comes. It says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They listened to Him. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Well, that's what He said would happen, that they would be baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost if they would wait. But notice what came with the Holy Ghost. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and," all filled with the Holy Ghost "and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now we've been talking about what people call that tongues business. And there's so many ideas and wrong thinking concerning this. There's always a middle of the road when it comes to the Bible. But there's always a ditch on either side of the road. And when it comes to the ditch on the topic of speaking in tongues, there's one ditch on this side of the road where people have gotten hyper-spiritual. There's been craziness, chaos, and confusion. Every time people get together, it's a swinging from the chandelier service. There's no order. There's no word being taught. It's just a free-for-all. And then there's a ditch on the other side of the road that you just sweep this doctrine under a rug and don't talk or mention anything about it. And I truly believe a lot of times that ditch gets filled up because that ditch pushes people into that ditch. The fanaticism and the chaos and the disorder and the confusion has scared people from the Holy Ghost, has scared people from the topic of tongues. And because so much criticism and so much pressure comes from it, they go into that ditch and they sweep it under the rug and want nothing to do with it. But here's the problem with that, is that this is not some obscure doctrine in the Bible that people like our church or the charismatics or the Pentecostals use as their thing that they put their hooks in. They say, this is what represents us. We're the tongue-talking crazies part of the Bible and the body of Christ. No, that's the way it's been made out to be. Because through the years, this doctrine has been pushed off to the side. And people think, well, because our church growing up, because our family members, people we trusted that knew God, because they never said anything about it, it must not be relevant. It must not be important. It must just be something for, again, those charismaniacs and those pentacrazies. But the problem with that is, this is one of the biggest and most prominent foundational doctrines from the time that Jesus died and rose again. This was the first thing he told the church to get a hold of. It was never meant to be some quiet thing swept under the rug. We praise the Father, we praise the Son, but when it comes to things of the Holy Ghost, we get hush hush on those things and we don't talk about them. Well, it's time to start bringing back the Bible. It's time to start doing things God's way. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians, that was a church that was very fanatical. They were very hyper-spiritual, and Paul had to come in and straighten them out and give them order. There's no doubt these things, like any doctrine, can be taken to excess, can be taken to outside the boundaries of the Bible. But if we stick with the Bible, it takes out the ooky, it takes out the spooky, and it takes out the weird. Amen? Amen. And so we've been looking at what is this tongues business? Because Jesus said, don't leave without it. Because you need the Holy Ghost for the power that's going to come on you. But the problem is, and most people don't want to see this, admit this, or receive this, is that Holy Ghost business, you can't separate speaking in tongues from the Holy Ghost business. They were filled and began to speak. And we pointed this out, and you have to go back on our live stream archives to see this. I don't have time to reteach this series, but we showed clearly in the Word of God that there's a separate experience apart from salvation. That yes, people receive Jesus, and that's the most important thing, and that gets them into heaven. But we see time and time again in the Word, when people receive Jesus, we see the next thing they asked Him, or the next thing that they did was attempt to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, because they knew something. Salvation is not all that we receive from God. There's more. We saw that in the Word. And go back, you can get on live stream. We went over that 5 or 6 different places in the Word. And then we saw people say, okay, I see it. It's a separate experience. But can't I have the Holy Ghost without that tongues business? And we saw that being filled with the Holy Ghost, the initial evidence that proves that somebody's filled. 5 times we saw in the Bible, 3 times where it specifically told us that once a person got filled, they immediately started speaking in tongues. The other 2 times we can infer by the Word of God that it was so. Amen? But we saw it 3 specific times that tongues comes with being filled with the Holy Ghost, that that's the only evidence there is of that somebody is filled with the Spirit. But then we said, okay, so we saw that in the Word. It's a separate experience. We saw that tongues is the evidence. But then we said, we need to take the weird out of tongues and explain what tongues is. Go with me real quick to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Just real fast review, trying to catch people up. Because people hear tongues, they think, oh, that crazy made up gibberish that those wackies in that church partake of. Well, let's see what the Bible says about it. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So it's a spiritual act, but verse 14 really clarifies what speaking in tongues is. Go to verse 14. Paul said this, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Do you see that there? To fully understand the scope of speaking in tongues, you have to first understand that you are not a natural being. You have a natural shell or a natural body, but the real you is the spirit of you. The Bible says the inward man or the spirit of man is renewed day by day, though the outward man perisheth. The outward man, when this life is over, stays here on the earth. It's the spirit that goes on to live in eternity. The real you is not this. This is the earth suit that houses the real you. And to understand tongues, because the Bible says tongues is when your spirit, the real you, communicates with God. When you understand that you're a spirit, it makes total sense. Because God is a spirit. See, we get caught up in this natural realm, and then things of the spirit weird us out. Things of the spirit trip us up. Ladies and gentlemen, this realm was created by the unseen realm. The unseen realm is more real than this realm. Yes, we can touch it, we can taste, we can see all that stuff in the natural realm. But this realm is passing away. But that realm lives on forever. And so what is tongues? Tongues is a way by we can communicate from the real us unto the Father. And we saw last week that tongues is for every single Christian, and every single Christian, we proved it biblically, will be able to speak in tongues if they so choose to believe it. We saw it clearly in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. But now here's where we're going today. Because maybe you're sitting on the outside looking in. I said, well, okay, I get it. I see that, but I just don't understand what's the big deal with speaking in tongues. You've heard me say this before, that the second greatest thing that's ever happened to me was getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. The first was salvation. You've heard me say this before, and I have Bible to prove it, that being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and not being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues as a Christian, you still go to heaven, you're still loved by God, but life will be different for you. Why? Life with power is always different than life without power. I have some friends that I hunt with in Ohio. They're Amish friends of mine, and they don't have electricity. And when I go there, things are different. Not saying they're bad, but things are different, and things are harder. Things are not as convenient. Things are not as fast. Things are not as easy as it is for people with power. It's the same way for Christians. Jesus said, don't leave without it. And so many Christians, I'll just leave that Holy Ghost business over there under the rug. And they go out in the world and they wonder, why don't I have power? Why don't I have supernatural power? Why is life dominating me? Why is every little thing get under my skin? Why is the smallest things cause me to blow up? You're powerless. Say, oh, pastor, that's blasphemy. No, that's Bible. What if the disciples would have said, I'm not into that Jesus, that power business, that Holy Ghost business. I'm just going to go out anyways. They would have walked out without power. And many Christians' lives are different and harder and less convenient because they don't have the power. It's just the truth. And people say, well, so if you're on the outside looking in, today we're going to look at something that hopefully gets you to dive onto the other side. But if you're a Christian and you've been filled with the Spirit, and you've spoken tongues before, but if you're not doing it daily, if it's not a part of your daily walk, you have not got the revelation of the value of speaking in tongues. You just haven't got the value of it, the revelation of the value of it. Once you understand the value and the revelation of it, you'll be a tongue talker all the time. But let's let the Bible do the talking. What does Hosea 4 and verse 6 say? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, I'll tell you what. Years and years went by. I never knew anything about this. Lived a hard life. I didn't know anything about salvation for years and years and years. Didn't know God loved me. Didn't know Jesus died for me. Didn't know that He cared about me so much that whatever I was going through, He didn't matter. He'd forgive me. I didn't know that there was a supplement of supernatural power that was available to me. And life was hard. And life was tough. But man, I got born again and got in the right family, got filled with God, got power in my life, and things started changing. Amen? Amen. I'm living proof and evidence that the power's real. You're looking at a former addict. You're looking at a former gambling. I had a addiction to gambling and an addiction to alcohol like you wouldn't believe, to the point where I couldn't see it without partaking. I couldn't go by a casino, or if there was a bet to be made, I'd drive to the middle of a snowstorm to Casino Niagara in a 1990 Nissan pickup with holes in it, just to get there in the middle of a snowstorm, a lake effect snow warning multiple times, lose all my money, and just struggle to get it all back. Now I drive by a casino every time I go to Olean to preach. I also pastor that church out there. When I drive home, I drive by a casino. I can walk by the supermarket and see the beer. Yet I used to sit all by myself with cases of it and just drink myself silly and just try to drown out the sorrows. And now it doesn't even affect me at all. I can't remember the last time. Say, what's the difference? What's the difference? Powerless, powerful. Amen. Amen. All these things started falling off me, praise God, with the power. But without the power, it's almost impossible to beat some of these things. It's overwhelming. They have such a grip. But you get the power will blast those things right off you. Amen. Hallelujah. But my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Talking about the value of speaking in tongues. Now, the author of 1 Corinthians is the Apostle Paul. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul was hand-picked or hand-chosen by God. Remember, he used to be a murderer of Christians when he was Saul of Tarsus. Don't tell me that your past is too bad for God to use you. Don't tell me that you've done too much wrong, that you're a throwaway, that we're just going to throw you on the spiritual junk heap because of what you've done. No, no, no. None of you in here have been a murderer of Christians. None of you have gone into Christians' homes, destroyed families, dragged mother and father away from children while it's a frantic, chaotic scene, and they've been crying. The Bible says he used to breathe slaughter and murderous threats against the house of God. That's who he was. And God said, I'm picking him. He's a zealous guy, and if I can get him going the right way, he's going to tear this world up. And he did. He got born again. And he moved past his past. Glory to God. Some of you need to move past your past. His mercies are new every morning. Today's a new day. Glory to God. I don't care how many times you've done it wrong. This morning, his mercies are brand new. Hallelujah. Praise God. And here's a writer that God handpicked. Wrote one half to two thirds of the New Testament. We get our revelation of who we are in Christ because of the Apostle Paul. He paved a way that we're still preaching. We're still living, feeding, and enjoying the benefits of what Paul wrote in his Gospels that he wrote. We're still enjoying it today. He's single-handedly the greatest Christian to ever walk the face of the earth. No Christian will ever do more. No Christian will ever have the impact. Doesn't mean they're more loved or more special, that he's more special or more loved than people. I'm just saying in what he did as a Christian, there'll never be anybody greater. There'll never be anybody that's going to have to pave a way like Paul did. And look at what that man said about this tongues business. If there's any verse that should get the Christian thinking, you know that emoji? That's what this verse ought to do to you. That emoji right there, all over the screen. Wait a second. If the greatest Christian to ever live, who did more for God, eternally records for history of mankind to read, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, that should get everybody thinking, why in the world would the greatest Christian say that? There must be something to it. When Michael Jordan talks about basketball, basketball players ought to listen. Right. Amen. Amen. Paul is the Michael Jordan, or I should say Michael Jordan is the Paul of basketball. But if we're saying it this way, he's the greatest. He's the GOAT. What's the GOAT? Greatest of all time. That's what that is. That's what it stands for. It's not a bad thing. He's the GOAT. Paul's the GOAT. He's the GOAT Christian. And he's saying, I pray in tongues more than you all. That ought to get every single one of us thinking, why? What must be the value? If the one that was used more by God's doing it all the time, maybe, just maybe, there's something to this tongues business. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5, look what Paul said about you. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5, he's talking about the church here. He said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Now, don't let the rest of the verse trip you up where it says, but I'd rather that you prophesy. He's talking about in church, prophecy's better. But outside of church, Paul's saying, I pray in tongues all the time, and I wish you would do it too. Why? He knew the value or the benefits of it. And I truly believe that when we realize the value and the benefits of it, we'll throw away our religious thinking. We'll throw away our preconceived ideas and notions. We'll throw away our fears and our anxieties and the things that our flesh and our mind are telling us. And we'll say, I want God. I want more of God. Hallelujah. So let's find out this morning what the value is of speaking in tongues. Why would Paul have a billboard or an advertisement and say, I do it all the time? Well, let's find out. Number one, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. We looked at this already and showed you that it's a spiritual act. But he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why it sounds like a bunch of babbling gibberish. Because it's an unknown language. And no man is supposed to understand it. The only audience that tongues is intended for is our Heavenly Father's ears. He says, for when one speaks in an unknown tongue, they speak unto God. The first benefit or value of speaking in tongues, it's a supernatural means by how we as believers can speak to God. The real you. I pray in tongues way more than I prayed in the natural in English. Why? The natural man, English man, is passing away. But the spirit of Pastor Mike is living forever. I'm giving preeminence to my spiritual man more than my natural man. Doesn't mean I don't pray in the natural and don't confess things in the natural, but I'm majority of the time I'm in the spirit realm praying. Why? That's the real me. That's the real realm. That's the realm I'm going to succeed in and be victorious out of. So it's a supernatural means by how we can speak to God. Now you can look at that a few different ways. Number one, what value that is. How intimate is that? It's not for anybody else's ears. It's just you and your Heavenly Father being locked alone together, just communicating and fellowshipping with one another. What value? If I pray in English, you can all get in on that prayer. You can all hear that prayer. It's not as intimate. But when I pray in tongues, it's intimate with my Father, praise God. It's a close connection and fellowship. But let's look at another reason why it's such a blessing, a supernatural means how we can speak to God. He says, for he that speaks unknown tongue speaks not to men but unto God. Notice it doesn't say anything about the devil being able to understand you. I truly believe, now you can't prove this by the Bible, or I can't prove this by the Bible, but you can't disprove it. But I believe by using common sense and inferring in other parts of the word, we can make this statement. I truly believe one of the reasons tongues is fought so hard by the enemy and put so many thoughts in people's heads is because the devil wants to get in on what we're praying about. Because if the devil knows what we're praying about, he can work on this earth to attempt to stop us. Yet when we pray in tongues, he's left on the sidelines just a pouting away. I like to make the devil pout. Amen? You ever heard of the movie? I've never seen it, but I looked things up on this as I was meditating on this message. Have you ever heard or seen of the movie or heard of the people back in World War II times called code talkers? Yeah. The code talkers were Navajo Indians that were used by the United States military. And when the United States military would need to transmit messages from one place to the other over the communication, however they were doing that, they didn't want to just say, hey, we're getting ready to move here. Or, hey, we need this. Or, hey, we're about to do this. Because then the enemy would hear it and plot against your moves. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary or your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's on the outside looking in, trying to mess your life up. And if he can get in on your prayer life, he can try to hinder and cause problems. If you're believing God for money, he can put problems in your way. You're believing God for your kids to turn around, he can put problems in your way. You're believing God for your business. You're believing God for all sorts of things. The devil hears that. He can attempt to hinder you and slow you down. Now, thank God through faith we always are victorious. But I truly believe, just like back there in World War II, when those code talkers got on the horn and started speaking in their Navajo language, that the enemy, when they couldn't understand it, it frustrated them. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. What are they saying? And they were able to go and plot outside of the enemy because the enemy couldn't understand them. When you pray in tongues about situation, that's between you and God. And the enemy's on the outside saying, what are they saying? What are they doing? I can't understand that language. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't know, but you're all spiritual code talkers. Hallelujah. And I believe that's why the devil fights this doctrine. He doesn't want a bunch of tongue-talking Christians. Why? It gets him on the outside looking in. It does. Praise God. That's the first value of it. It's a supernatural means by how we can speak to God. Number two is found in the same verse. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. The second benefit or value to praying in tongues is that when you do so, you're praying or speaking out mysteries in life. What's a mystery? A mystery is something you don't know. A mystery is something that's hidden to your understanding. A mystery is something that you're on the outside looking in wondering what's going on. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know everything that's going to happen in your life? No. Do you know everything that God has for you in your life? No. Do you know everything that's up ahead of you that's going to attempt to thwart you from the plan of God? Nope. Do you know every decision that needs to be made and every turn and every corner that you... No, you don't know. Those things are mysteries. We don't need to turn there, Kim Lai. In fact, you can go to Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 if you would. But in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, behold, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope, a future, an expected outcome. Well, guess what? God knows the plans, but do you know the full plan of God for your life? No, you don't. Would you think it would benefit you to know the plan of God for your life? Do you think it would benefit you to know, hey, don't move there. Hey, don't take a job there. Hey, don't get in a relationship with that person. Hey, don't invest into that thing. Wouldn't it help to know these things and take the guesswork out of stuff? Well, he said, I know the plans. Well, look at verse 33. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Now notice this. And show you great and mighty things. That sounds pretty good. Great and mighty things. Well, he said, I know the plans I have for you. Prosper you, give you hope, an expected outcome of future. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says we're God's own handiwork. That he's made a path available to us that we have prearranged and made ready for us to walk in. The Amplified says, living the good life. God has plans for your life up in front of you that are great and mighty things, filled with prosperity, hope, future, victory, things for your children, things for your family, things for your business, your financial life, that you don't know about, that you're going to have to walk into those plans. He says, call unto me. I'll show you great and mighty things, which you know it's not. Can I pull that up in the Amplified, please? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. He's saying there's things that are fenced in and hidden from you. They're not obvious to you. He said, but if you call unto me, or what is calling unto him? Talking to him, praying to him. He said, I'll show you great and mighty things. I'll show you great and mighty things. Go with me real quick to John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. For years, I have family members, friends still, just going out about in life, just playing lottery with their life. Whichever way the wind blows, they make decisions. Have no idea. God's got a path filled with such good things going this way. Well, it seems good this way. Well, it seems good this way. Well, my pros and cons list. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. What's the Holy Ghost listening to? The voice of God. He's got his ear inclined to what God is saying. The Bible says that he hears from heaven and then relays it to us. And look at what it says. He will show you things to come. The things that haven't yet come, the Holy Ghost's job is to show you things to come. Kind of sounds like, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know what they are. It's called mysteries. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. For he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands it. Howbeit in the Spirit, he's praying out mysteries. What mysteries? The plan of God for your life. The things you don't know. The things that are up ahead that the Holy Ghost wants to show you. Are you ready for me to just make a statement, a bold statement right now? Go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I heard a minister say it this way, and it's the truth. The church, the body of Christ, ought to be the most intelligent people group on the planet. Why? We have a fortune teller living on the inside of us whose job is to guide you and lead you and show you things to come. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean? Don't lean on what you think. Well, the Wall Street Journal says, well, financially it says, well, the pros and cons, well, so-and-so said. No, no, no. That's how the world lives. I had somebody one time was selling something. They were selling something, and I was surprised they were selling. I said, I didn't know you wanted to sell this. They said, well, I'm not so sure I want to sell it either, but I'm going to put a for sale sign up. And this is a Christian now. If it sells, then I know it was God's will. And if it doesn't sell, then it wasn't God's will. You know what that's called? That's called laying out a fleece. What's laying out a fleece? That's what they did in the Old Testament before the Holy Ghost was put on the inside of them. Where they laid out a fleece, and if they woke up and it was wet, it meant one thing. If they woke up and it was dry, it told them another thing. Christians laying out fleeces all the time. Well, if it worked out, it must have been God. Well, if I got the job, it must have been God for me to move. Well, if this happened, it must be God telling me. Garbage! That's not how God leads you. He doesn't lead by circumstances, feelings, thoughts, money, goosebumps and tears. He doesn't lead by natural things. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And this verse says, trust in the Lord. Well, how's He going to lead you? Through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He uses your spirit to guide you. He doesn't use the economy. He doesn't use your job. He doesn't use the weather. He doesn't use what you want. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's where people leave Him out. I don't want to know what God said about that because when you say that and don't trust in God like that, you're saying, I just don't have a revelation of who God is, because you would want it God's way over any way that you could think in your life, because God's way is perfect. It's the most blessed way. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And look what He said. He'll direct your paths. You know what that means? That verse is a promise to you to spare you from every mistake and falter and failure that you could have going forward. You should never fail in business. You should never get with the wrong person. You should never take the wrong job. You should never buy the wrong car, never buy the wrong house, never move to the wrong place, never do anything else wrong if in all your ways you'll acknowledge Him. Because He said, if you'll do it, I'll direct your paths. But most people don't take time to acknowledge Him, and most people don't take time to hear what He's saying. We get impatient and carnal and just make our own decisions, uproot our whole lives, and just do what we feel like doing. You can live like that and play lottery with your life, but I'm going to hit the bullseye. I'm going to go with God, and He said, I'll direct your paths. I'll make sure that you're on the path of blessing. So many people do things their own way, and you got a guide on the inside of you. I think about, I went on a hunt in Illinois, and it was a guided hunt in the sense that they had the food plots and things, and they put you where they wanted to put you. And they know the property better than I do, and they know the land better than I do, and they know the deer better than I do. And I sat there the first two nights, and the temperatures were down to around 0 degrees. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting over a cut cornfield, and the deer, it's after the rut, after they've been chasing, the bucks have been chasing does around, and they're just, all the deer are just trying to stock up and feed and get fat before the winter. You know, they've been running around, especially the bucks, you know. They've been chasing and hardly eating all fall. Now they need to eat. And so I'm sitting on a food plot in a box blind, and it's freezing. And these deer are coming in the first night. I see like 40 of them. I said, wow, that's awesome. But I have to get out of this thing to get back to the vehicle, and I'm covered in deer at night. And I get out of that box blind, it makes noise, and the field just clears. And I thought, oh boy, they're going to remember that. And I waited till it was pitch black, so all they did was hear up there. They didn't. My wind was going the right way, so they didn't smell me. But still, thinking they're not coming back. Went in the next night, saw 50-some deer. Again, I dreaded getting out of that stand, got out of that stand, and I mean, the does were just blowing, you know, and the field just clearing. You're seeing white tails up everywhere going in the woods. It sounded like, you know, just chaos. The third night, I started to think, you know, this happened twice. They're not going to be fooled a third time. I said to the guide, you know, I'm kind of fishing and throwing out hints saying, hey, go back to John 16 and verse 13, please. I said, hey, don't you think, because around here, that stuff doesn't happen. You do stuff like that, the deer get wise to you. Why, there's way more hunters. And, well, these properties they have are not pressured. The deer don't hardly ever see humans on these properties. I said, don't you think I ought to move? I mean, I scared deer out of that. He said, nope. He said, you go and you sit there all week long. I said, yeah, but, and I'm arguing with him. Yeah, but, I scared it. And you know what he said to me? He goes, I'm your guide. You're either going to trust me or you're not. If you want to do it your own way, you tell me where we'll go tonight. Or you can sit where I'm going to put you. And I know this property and I know these deer. And if you'll sit here, you're going to see a dandy. Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I took my spanking on my backside and I went and sat in that blind. And the next night, I shot the biggest buck of my life with 60 deer all around me. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Listen to the guide. And when you pray in tongues, you're speaking out the mysteries. And you're praying out the things that he's supposed to show you things to come. That's why it's a benefit, praise God. I remember when I was, real quick story, it would have been August of 2009, I was working over at Walker's in Forestville for Sue and Jim and picking up a brush in the cherry orchard there. That's what they're called, right, orchards? Okay. That's why I don't work there anymore. And picking up brush and just praying all day long in tongues with my earphones on with some praise and worship music on. Just worshiping God, you know. And this was a time where we were getting ready to move in the natural realm. We were getting ready to start a family. And we knew ministry was up ahead for us. And so there was all these three mysteries in my life. And when to do it, you know, because I don't move unless God tells me to move. I don't go unless God tells me to go. I've done it my own way and it always fails. Sometimes you hit it right and you get lucky, but most of the time I do it my way. It doesn't seem to work out as good. And so I said, I'm praying and just praying in tongues. I've been doing that for weeks and weeks. You know, this was a season where I was by myself with just a tractor and a trailer and fill the thing up with brush, go over, dump it over the bank, go pick more brush up, just kind of working by myself. And I'm praying in tongues. What am I doing? Speaking mysteries, speaking mysteries, speaking mysteries. Well, the Bible says the Holy Ghost's job is to show you things to come. And so I'm praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden, boom, it drops in me, the words. And I mean, it was clear as day, like it was written on a tablet in my heart. This time next year, in the fall of 2010, you will start a church in South Dayton, New York. I said, that's great, Father, but where's that? I had no idea where South Dayton was. I had heard of it. And so I went home and told Courtney, I was getting ready to go to a conference with Pastor Michael in Canton, Ohio, a Dr. Dufresne conference, and I said to her, I've heard from heaven, but you have the same Holy Ghost as I have, and this is kind of a big thing. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm not going to tell you if it's about ministry, if it's about moving, about having a baby, or about something else. I said, but I've heard from God, and I want you to pray. You have the Holy Ghost. He'll show you things to come just as much as he'll show me things to come. So she spent nights praying in tongues, and it was the second night of the conference. I called her. Now, she had been praying before this, but when I left for the conference, you know, it seemed like all of a sudden she had more time when I was out of the house. And she had more time to pray. I said, pray, pray, pray. And so she prayed. And the second night of the conference, I called her. And I just talked to her. And she said, the weirdest thing happened tonight. I was praying, and these words dropped into my heart. She said, I'm basically doubting, you know, I must be crazy. This can't be. But I got the words that this time next year, in the fall of 2010, we're going to start a church in South Dayton, New York. She said, I've never even heard of South Dayton, She's a Pennsylvania girl, so she don't know. I said, yeah, that's what I heard. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think it was beneficial to know 1 year in advance what I was going to be doing with my life? You better believe it. Naturally, it was beneficial. Spiritually, it was beneficial. I started believing God for a building, started believing God for people, started believing God for the finances, started believing God for favor, started to reorganize and re-strategize our life and different things according to that. Why should we be the most intelligent, smartest people group on the planet? Because if we'll listen and pray out the mysteries, we can know everything that we need to know and what turn to make, what turn not to make, and what to do with our lives. It's available to everybody. Praise God. So number one, it's a supernatural means by how we can speak to God. Number two, it's a way to pray out mysteries. Number three, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. I'm not texting a friend. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm actually trying to get to the stinking heat thing. See if it's working, because it feels like the stinking equator in here. Well, it's where it's supposed to be, so if it gets any hotter, that thing's going to kick on, so we're good. And I'm probably a little warmer than you guys because you're not up here screaming your head off. And I am. So that's probably my problem. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Let's go forward and look at here what the word says. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, if you look up that word edify in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, that means to charge or to build up. To charge up or to build up. So Paul says, now we're starting to get clued into how did a man who over there in Acts chapter 16 was doing the work of God, got beaten and stripped naked and thrown into prison, how at midnight was he not grumbling, griping, moaning, groaning, doubting, crying, and wailing away, yet lifting his voice and praising God and worshiping God in the worst time of his life? I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank my God I'm edified more than you all. Why was he able to go through hell on earth at times and come out victorious? He was built up and charged up. Amen. Go to Jude. Jude's the last book before Revelation. Jude chapter 20. He said, whoever prays in his own tongue edifies himself. What did Jude say about it? But you, beloved, building up yourselves, edifying yourselves, charging yourselves. If you're not built up and not charged up, that's not my fault. If you're not built up and charged up, that's not your pastor's fault. That's not your family's fault. That's your fault. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Jude 20. It's right before Revelation. There's only one verse, one chapter in that one. It's kind of confusing. But it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, what did Paul say? He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Two places in the Bible where it tells us the value of praying in tongues. You edify, charge up, or build yourself up. Now, why is it important to be built up? Because we know there's going to be mountains put in our way. We know there's going to be things that are going to take power to get through. We know there's things that are going to try to pull us out of our love walk. Why are some people so touchy? Why do some people become the eggshell people that you're afraid to walk around? And the littlest things set them off. Why at times do you get snippy and chippy and walk out of love? Just when you walk out of love, that's hurting yourself. You get bitter and hold grudges and get angry and talk behind people's back, and that is carnal as the day is long. It's because you're not built up, and that's hurting your life. An edified, charged up person walks in love. Jesus was charged up. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. When Jesus came up against the test, he didn't cower away from that. He went right towards it, praise God. He was built up or charged up. You know, I've been talking recently you know, about Abby's little power wheels that she has. And when that battery's full, you know, we have a gravel-type driveway, and when she steps on it, actually spins the wheels and spins out and kicks gravel behind her. She just thinks it's great, you know, and makes Caleb laugh. The other day, she had that thing charged up, and it kind of goes pretty fast for a four-year-old. She came around the corner, and she's standing up, one hand on the steering wheel, waving at me. I said, "Sit down! You don't do that!" But that's Abby for you. She just thought it was the greatest thing ever. But if that battery, at the end of the day, we don't take time to charge that, the next day when she needs to use it, it's different. It's slow or the thing doesn't even go. And Christians are in a world with a devil who steals, kills, and destroys, and he's done it for thousands of years. And he's coming down against you hard. And you think you're going to do it and make it without a full charge? No. No. I watched, I was interested in a college football game last week. It was Michigan against Florida, and they originally had said about that game that it was going to be quite a battle and quite a test, you know, and just going to be a really good game. Well, it turned out it was an embarrassment. Actually, the score didn't really reveal how far apart the game really was. Michigan made a couple stupid mental errors in the game that allowed the other team to score, but for the most part, they were dominated. And I was listening to the analysis of the game afterwards and what the analysts were saying. They were all saying the same thing. And then it was interesting. The coach of the losing team, the Florida coach, got behind the podium. And he said the same exact thing the analysts were saying. He said, "You know, I thought we had a good plan." And it wasn't the fact. Now, Florida, the University of Florida, they get the top players in the country. Pulling from the cities that you get to pull down there, and they've won national championships. That's where Tim Tebow played, and he won two national championships. They have a solid team. It wasn't that the game plan of Michigan was better. It wasn't that the players were better. The analysts saw the same thing, and the coach even said the same thing. He said, today, we were absolutely manhandled and overpowered, and the reason is because of the weight room. Well, what happens in the weight room? People get built up with power. It wasn't they were more talented. It wasn't that they had a better plan. The coach and the analyst said, these boys were manhandled. The other team had more power. The other team was more built up. Well, they took an unbuilt up team to where it should be against a built up team, and they got pushed around. The devil is excellent at what he does. And you think as a Christian, why do you think Jesus commanded people, get the power, people, get the power, you need the power, you need to get into the spiritual weight room, people, you need to build up, you need to charge up. What's the spiritual weight room? Pacing your floor, playing and praying in tongues. Pacing your floor, playing in tongues. Laying in your bed at night, praying in tongues. That's a spiritual weight room. And what's the spiritual supplement and nutritional shake that you need? The Word. Yes. When people start struggling and start getting grumpy and start missing church and start getting offended, start walking out of love, start walking in unforgiveness, I ask them the same thing. What's your prayer and word time been like? And it's almost nil or non-existent. Why? The person that's filling up on the supplement of the Word and the person that's spending time in the weight room is strong, is built up, and is charged up and ready to go. It's true. Amen. Praise God. Why are things so hard? Life without power makes it hard. Amen. Praise God. I'm almost done. Bear with me. I'm almost done. Romans 8 and verse 13. Talking about being built up. I want the power. I want the power. I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm not. I'm thankful for these things. But the power of God beats any natural remedy. Right. Yeah. AA didn't get me free from alcohol. Gamblers Anonymous did not get me free from alcohol. No counseling appointments got me free. And you say, well, then you must not have been. No, you don't know the dark places I've been as a human being. You don't know when somebody's going through that, how dark it can actually be. I've been in the darkest of the dark, where the only light that I thought was by taking my own life. I've been there multiple times. And so in order to not do that, I filled up on the other things in life. I know what it's like to be absolutely manipulated and controlled and have no power or no say at all over the things you put in your body and the things you're doing. You just feel utterly powerless. I didn't go. It was no natural remedy that fixed me. It's not because I got the pastor label. It's because I took time, I got born again, and I got sick and tired of feeling the way I felt. And I started filling up on the Word, and I started putting myself around the Word, and I started praying in tongues in the Holy Ghost. How much did I pray in tongues? Till, like one minister said, I prayed in tongues till my tongue fell off, I picked it up, put it back in, and started praying again. That's how much. And I was just in the spiritual weight room building and building and building. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're here this morning and you feel like there's no way out, you'll never be free of that. That's a garbage lie from the pit of hell. God is your answer. The power of God is your answer. But it takes your cooperation. Romans 8 and verse 13 says this, "For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit," notice this, through the Spirit. What was a gambling addiction? It was a deed of the flesh. What was being an alcoholic? It was a deed of the flesh. How did I mortify or destroy the deeds of the flesh? Through the Spirit. If you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, bam, it comes in and knocks that stuff right off you. Praise God is right. And to say, "Well, that worked for you," when I'm giving credit to the power of God, and that won't work for me or that won't work for someone else, that's a slap in the face to the power of God. God's the answer to every single thing. And I'm not saying God won't use doctors, and I'm not saying God won't use counselors, and there won't be things going that direction. But God's ultimately your answer. I know what it's like, and God set me free. Praise the Lord. And He wants to set you free too. And if you're struggling in those areas and you're hurting, don't beat yourself up. Condemnation's the worst thing you can fall into. You just give that over to God and let Him come in, fill you up, and watch what He'll do in your life. Amen? And let me tell you this on the other side. I'm going to stand up to make my point for this because it makes me look taller. Those of us that stand on the outside better not ever look in and judge and say, "How could they? How could they?" You don't know. You never know what people, and so many people, their self-righteousness on the outside. Well, how could they do that? You don't know. Thank your lucky stars, you don't know. Amen. Amen. I remember one time Pastor Nancy gives me chills, makes me start crying, think about it. She called me up in Canada one time, ministered to me. She said, "Because of your life, everything you went through, everything you've been through, and what you've come out of," she said, "your compassion is going to help the hurting." Because she picked it up in the Spirit. I won't judge. I won't look down on you. I won't say, "How could you do that, you worthless thing?" Because I was there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't ever. You don't know what hell has been unleashed on a person. What the devil has assaulted them with. You just don't know. You know, people fall into sin. You hear things. And this is another thing, even step further. You see ministers on TV that fall into sin. And we just criticize. Get out. Did you see this? You don't know the hell that was unleashed on those people because of the position that they're in. We ought to be praying and lifting people up. We ought not to be the ones tearing and knocking people down. Amen. I know that is good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Helps with the flesh. Last but not least, number one is supernatural. Means how we talk to God. I'm going to go quick. Number two, pray out mysteries. Number three, way to build yourself up. Number four, it's a way to pray out God's perfect will. Kim, I go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 real quick. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Why is it a big deal to pray out the will of God? Well, look what these verses say. "This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Notice that. He'll hear you if you ask according to His will. Verse 15 says, "And if we know He hears us," well, how do we know He hears us? If we ask according to His will, "whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him." The Bible says this is how we can have a 100% success in our prayer life, by praying according to the will of God. Now go to Romans 8 and verse 26, and we'll close here. Romans 8 and verse 26. Let me ask you, do you know every situation about everything that everybody's going through and how to pray exactly? You know God's answer, but do you know every way to pray and everything you ought to say to make power available? What if God wakes you up in the middle of the night, puts Pastor Mike on your heart, or puts a family member on your heart, or puts a situation on your heart? Are you going to call people at 3 in the morning and ask them? I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, you're strong on my heart. What do you need me to pray for? I said, I don't know. Things are going great as far as I can tell. I have no idea what to pray for, but I can tell you what you should do. He says in verse 26, he says, but likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. That's our weaknesses. Well, then he goes on to tell us what our weaknesses are. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. There's times things up, we don't know what to pray. And we just found out in 1 John, it's vital we pray His will. But at times we don't know what His will is in a situation. But He says the Spirit will help us when we don't know. How? He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered or understood. What does that sound like? Shalababin. What's shalababin? Praying in tongues. Praise God. And He, verse 27, that searcheth the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you pray in tongues over a situation that you don't know the answer to or what to pray for, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will pray the perfect will of God. I don't know how to pray exactly for my husband. I don't know how to pray exactly for my kids. I don't know how to pray exactly for this situation. I don't exactly know how to pray when God puts up my heart. Pray in tongues. The Holy Ghost will do it for you. Praise God. There's a story of a pastor. This is in Pennsylvania. 90-year-old man. Been faithful for years. He had a family that left him, got offended, left him, wouldn't talk to him, you know, just got bitter and upset, just a sweet old man. And he's praying in the Spirit, and the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, mysteries are revealed. Well, all of a sudden, he got something on his spirit to call this family and to tell them some information he got while praying. Now, he hadn't seen them in years. He gets the husband on the phone, and he says, and the Spirit of God told him, you need to talk to the wife about this because the wife's going to do something about it. The husband won't do much about it. So he gets the husband on the phone. This is what the Spirit of God told him. Call the wife, gets the husband on the phone, and the husband says, I don't know if she's going to talk to you. She's still mad at you, still upset after all these years. He said, no, you tell her I have information about her children, and she better get on the phone. Well, they had two children. One of them was saved, born again, serving God in a local church, living it, doing good. And the other one was backslidden, wanted nothing to do with it, and kind of struggling. Well, she finally agrees, hello, you know, all annoyed. And he says, I have to tell you, I was praying, and the Spirit of God showed me something, a mystery I didn't know, showed me I needed to let you know that you need to be praying for your son. And she said, this ain't nothing new. We've been praying for him forever. He said, no. I'm not talking about the son that's backslidden. You need to be lifting up in prayer the son that's in church serving God. I don't know why, but you need to pray it. Well, when he said that to her, it bore witness in her spirit. And she knew through her offense he was a man of God who hears from heaven and took him seriously. So what is she supposed to pray? She could call her son. He'd say, I don't know, Mom. Things are great. We're doing wonderful. Well, she didn't call him. She did what she knew to do. Thank God she had listened. And, when you don't know what to pray for, she got on her face, started praying in tongues. Prayed for a prolonged period of time in tongues. The very next day, the guy gets in a car crash that completely levels and flattens his car. When the officers go up, they're expecting the worst. The guy gets out without a scratch or a sore on him. Now you tell me that this Holy Ghost business isn't worth it. We could sit here from now until dinner time and I could tell you story after story after story after story of people that were spared, of things that were changed, of revelations that God gave people from praying in tongues. He said, you'll pray out the perfect will of God. So evidently when she started praying, because we think that God's just going to do whatever God's going to do. But remember, in Acts chapter 12, James, one of the 3 12, was murdered and Peter was taken to be murdered, but he wasn't murdered because the church prayed. When the church prayed, God was able to move. Power was made when the church prayed. Remember that? And so when they prayed for Peter, the angels were released. Well, see, God can't just do anything He wants on this earth. I don't have time to teach that. But this is a planet run by the devil. God's only authority is when the Christian who's born again and received Jesus, the Jesus that defeated the devil, when the Christian prays, it unties or loosens the hands of God. And so God, in His mercy, because He was praying, was good enough to show this pastor, hey, you need to get a hold of this mom. She'll listen to you if you can get a hold of her. She'll listen to you. I need you to get her to listen. Why? God needed to unleash the angels of protection. You say, well, he got in a car accident. So what? He walked away great. Who cares about stuff?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God is right. Yeah. And so they prayed. What happens? Unleash the power. Unleash the angels. Glory to God. James 5 says, when we pray, power is made available. She prayed and made power available. Praise God. Dynamic power available, and the angels can spare that. He said, I don't know how someone could. I mean, just the way the car looked, there's no way it couldn't have done something to him. It's flattened, and he gets out, and no scratch on him. Miracle signs and wonders. A life of the Spirit is a life of miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, I'm going to close service, and what I'm going to do first, I'm going to invite people to receive Jesus for the first time, not up here at your seat with heads bowed and eyes closed. And then after that, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, last night we got two people come forward, got filled with the Holy Ghost. After last week's service, I had a lady run up to me. She says, I need it. I can't wait till next week. I said, okay, let's go find my wife and go in the office and we'll get you filled. She said, I'll go find her. She ran and got her. We went in the office and she got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. If you're here today and you say, I'm on the outside looking in, don't live without the power any longer. You don't realize what it can do for you. But the first step is to be born again. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads here. Father, we love you. We're so grateful and thankful for this gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of power, the gift of supernatural utterance, the gift of mysteries being revealed, the gift of showing us things to come, the gift of being able to pray out the perfect will, the intimate relationship we can have with you through it. Now, Father, that's a great gift, but the most important and the best gift ever was when you gave Jesus for our salvation. Lord, that trumps being filled with the Holy Ghost any day of the week, and that's the first thing we need. If I could ask everybody to keep your eyes closed and to bow your heads, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, the answer is a 100%, you're going to heaven. You say, how can you be so sure, Pastor? Or maybe you think you're going to heaven. Well, if you don't meet the Bible qualifications, you're not going to heaven. It isn't about church attendance, doesn't matter. It isn't about being a good or a bad person. That doesn't get you into heaven or keep you out of heaven. It has nothing to do with how charitable you've been in your life or if you've been a cheapskate. Doesn't matter. It's not about financial. The Bible says there's two qualifications to go into heaven. Number one, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. The first qualification that a person must have to be saved, born again, and accepted into the family of God is to receive Jesus, to believe in Jesus. But there's a second qualification. Because the devil has the first qualification. The devil believes in Jesus. He knows Jesus died. He knows Jesus is real. He knows Jesus rose again from the dead. He saw it all happen. But the second qualification is the one the devil will never have. And it's the one that you need to go forward in this. The second qualification to receive in Jesus is asking him to come into your life. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, the only reason you'd call on him is because you believe in him. And the only reason you'd then further call on him after believing him is because you want to invite him in. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't barge in. He's not the SWAT team. He won't kick the door down. He needs you to open it and let him in. He's not an intruder or a trespasser. If you don't want him, he'll stay out. But if you want him, it's as simple as believing on him and asking him to come into your heart. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. But if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you could say, wow, I need Jesus. I never heard it put that way. I thought by being a good person or going to church or going to Sunday school got me in. No, believing and receiving. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in this building this morning that wants to receive Jesus for the first time? Just lift your hand high in the air and put it right back down. No embarrassment. This is between you and God. If you've never done this before, if you've already received him and you've had a bad week, a bad year, a bad month, just repent. He didn't leave you. But is there anybody in here before we close the service that wants to receive the Lord for the first time? Don't let this moment pass you by. I don't like to rush this moment. Sometimes people are shy. Anybody at all before I close the service? Put your hand up. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this service. But if by chance there's somebody in here, or if by chance there's somebody listening by live stream right now or in the future via the archives, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. What does that look like? That looks like this. Father, I love you. I believe in you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I ask him into my heart. That's all you have to do. A simple invitation, a simple declaration that you believe, and he'll come in. Father, we thank you for that. Now, going further with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you say, I want it. I want the power. I don't want to go another day without it. We're going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to lay hands on you. You're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to speak with other tongues. Is there anybody at all that wants to accept that invitation to get filled today? There's an anointing to receive it. Don't let it pass you by. Last night, we had somebody come up. It took them just a minute or two to get the boldness. The only reason you'd sit there is because you're afraid. And the devil's the author of that fear. You've heard the word. You know what the word says. Someone last night, they were all excited about when the invitation came. Man, they stayed glued to their seat. Finally, he came up. I said, brother, it's about to change for you. Laid hands on him, told Father, fill him with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I asked that kindly, and he did. And it did, and he prayed in tongues. Praise God. Anybody at all, before we close the service, this will be the easiest time ever to receive it. Just come forward. Anybody at all. We'll just worship God, give people a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. Life's about to change. Hallelujah. Just heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not trying to single anybody out or make anybody feel weird or awkward. Anybody else want to come up? Anybody else want to come up and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, out of respect for people. Anybody else want to come forward? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited for you. I want to just encourage you with a couple things. Remember this, that receiving any gift of God is, I'm going to turn this off, is done. We worship you and praise you. We magnify you and praise you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go ahead and cut it off. Thank you. I want to go ahead and just explain something real quick. The one thing that's important to know when you receive it, and I'll tell you, she got it so fast. I told her, I wasn't bold enough to come up in a church service. I got filled in my apartment in Fredonia on Water Street when I was going to college. And one of the things about praying in tongues, we see that's important to do it, but always use the Bible as your safety net. What's a safety net? Something you can fall into and not get hurt. Well, when you talk about subjects like this that make your mind go on tilt and make your flesh go on tilt, the Word is that safety net. Because when you pray in tongues, your mind is going to tell you you're nuts. And your mind is going to say, wait a second, what are you doing? What are you doing? But we have Bible. Real quick, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. I just want to show you that it's biblical to not understand. In fact, the Bible says it's an unknown language. It's never been heard before. Praise God. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding... That's why I was saying tongues was supposed to come from your heart, up, and out of your mouth. Never supposed to get to your brain. Your understanding is unfruitful. Your mind is supposed to be on the outside looking in. That's why it kicks and screams. Because your mind says, what are you doing? What are you saying? What is that crazy language? You're making it up. This is devilish. No, it's Bible. Amen. So fall into that safety net. If you are here and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, don't beat yourself up. We have people in the service right now who we've given invitations before and they didn't come up and receive it. Maybe they were shy, but then they went back home and by faith received it. It's not about receiving it here or where you receive it. Who cares? Don't beat yourself up. Walk out of here and say, I want to get it. Get alone with God like I did on my knees in my apartment. Say, Father, I believe it. I see it in the Word. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and start tongue talking. Praise God and take advantage of all the benefits that we saw here today. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget about fellowship over there in the old sanctuary. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock.